Everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. And ladies and gentlemen, the Southlands took a hit today with all the tornadoes. A couple killed down in the Nashville area, just a little bit from where the WWRB has the transmitters. And Brother Dave just informed me that the storm sort of split and went around it, but he had to get into his the site today, had to take alternate routes to get in because the downed trees and the things, and did quite a bit of damage in the Nashville Murfreesboro area. But thankfully, all the towers are still standing, Dave said, and transmit tonight. And so we're glad to have you aboard tonight as we launch part three of How to Count to Pentecost. Now we're going to continue part three on this ideal that the scriptures gives us quite a bit of information. We have a little book here, The Count to Pentecost. If you'd like to write for it, and I'll send it to you free of charge. If you would like to study the true count. Now, there's a lot of ways which we've talked about in part one and part two of the count. And we went through the resurrection process and the day that, that the Messiah got up out of the tomb. Remember, he went in on the 14th day and at the end of the 14th day. So a part of the 14th day, he was in the grave. He wasn't in 72 hours, ladies and gentlemen, as a lot of people have erroneously reported that he was. Most people just, they jump. They don't look. They don't search. They don't pray for the proper scriptures to come into their intellect, into their mind, into their, you've got to have these scriptures in your heart. And the Bible says from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures. And if that's true as a child, then with a childlike spirit, you can get it. Moses is up on the mountain here as we're going to start in Exodus 31:18. That's the very day. Now, listen to me very well. The very day that the law of Yahweh was delivered was on the exact day of Pentecost. That's when the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, or what we call the Ruach, was delivered on the day of Pentecost. Now, we have proven that the count, most people use an erroneous count. They just don't understand how to start to count. Well, we know from the Bible that it tells you to count seven Sabbaths and then number 50 days. Well, most people start from the time of the count of that first Sabbath, and then they count 50 days, and then they keep an early Pentecost, so they're out of sync. Remember what I told you about to be on the page with Yahweh. What day do you want to rest? You say, well, it don't matter I can rest any day that I choose. No, you can't. Yahweh chose the day, Yahweh scheduled that day, and Yahweh sanctified that day, and Yahweh made it holy and told you to keep it. Now, here's the test. Just like in Exodus 31:18, as with Moses when he received the law. Now remember, he was up on the mountain for 40 days. And we know exactly when it went up, and we know exactly when he came down. He came down on the very day, according to Exodus 32:5-7, when they were worshiping the golden calf. On the exact Pentecost day. Now, the worship of the calf and the law is mentioned again by Stephen before they stoned him in the book of Acts, in chapter 7. So, if Stephen mentioned it, it must have been significant, because Stephen, as you very well know, was one of those that was at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, and he had received a mighty anointing, and when he was preaching, whatever he was preaching, cut the Jews to their heart. Paul, at that time, was still caught up in the Jewish law or dogma, and he was very dogmatic, by the way, like a lot of people are. They're very dogmatic in trying to honor Yahweh. They break Yahweh's laws and make themselves two for more the child of hell than they were to begin with. Just like the people that were worshiping the golden calf, they had been convinced that Moses had disappeared and wouldn't come back. They knew it was a holy day. And so they demanded something to stand in for Moses. Moses is a high priest, so they need an image. And so they made a golden calf. Now, the significance of that, and the reason that they made the golden calf, was in the age of Taurus, of the heavens, when the Egyptians were worshiping the bull. Did you know that they have found images of bulls all over Egypt? When they were examining the pyramids, they went out and dug up certain tombs, and there was the images of the bulls. And Israel, being down there for 400 years, they observed the Egyptians worshiping the images in heaven. And that's why it was a calf. It represented the age of Taurus, the bull. And Stephen was preaching against it, and that's why that they stoned him to death. And the Bible says in the 54th verse of Acts chapter 7, and they stoned Stephen, calling on God and saying, Yahweh, receive my spirit. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, here it says Lord Jesus, that's erroneous, Jesus is not the correct name. In the New Testament, that's a Greek rendering, and it goes right back to the same paganism that is going on right now. And that's why that we chose this particular time to preach on Pentecost, because of the timing event. Well, today it's what the Catholic who brought in Ishtar worship, sun worship, Ishtar. If you notice, they hold up these little images of the sun. They're very into sun worship. And don't be deceived by that, ladies and gentlemen, because they were the one that gave us the calendar of 7 days. Now, they're very smart. They're very crafty. So this Ishtar worship is no different from what the Israelites, who had learned these customs of the pagan, and the Bible expressively tells you, do not, this is a warning, do not learn the ways of the heathen. So they worshiped the sun, they worshiped Zeus. Now here we go to the Romans and the Catholic Church, and the Greek Church, their god was Zeus. They worshiped the images of heaven and the 12 constellations and all of those things above, and all the images that were there. Did you know that even the great god Dinah, they were worshiping that when Paul went into the stadium over there and he ripped his clothes when they were worshiping these idols and pagans? And he had to be restrained by his entourage that was with him to forbid him from going into to them. And he said that he recounted. He said Alexander the coppersmith. They were beating these images of Dinah, the great goddess from the planet Jupiter, by the way. So they worshiped these images, and Zeus was the principal god of all of these pagan gods, even in the time of the Roman church. And if you go to the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll see that the priest of Zeus, they very skillfully hide for some reason, I don't know why, but did you notice that they called Paul and Barnabas these images? If you read there, they called the image of Jupiter, well, that's the planet that was the great god Dinah was on, where they made these copper images to worship, had these little trinkets hanging on their well, they didn't have any automobiles back in, but you see these people today in their cars. They have these little crucifixes and these little images and these their own little pet gods, these little pagan gods. They have Easter bunnies now hanging in the stores because they know that these pagan Christians will be in to buy them. I was in a major chain the other day, and you couldn't get down in. I turned to go down a certain aisle looking for an item, and I had to back out. I mean, the women and the children were there. The candy, eggs, Easter eggs, little chocolate bunnies, Easter paraphernalia was flying off the shelves. It is one of the most major merchandising paganistic things that apply, basically, ladies and gentlemen. It's sad to see all this paganism going on, and it was sad to see this paganism going on with Moses away for 40 days. Aaron was convinced that he wouldn't come in back, and they made a golden image, like I say, to the Taurus the bull. And so here we have in the second chapter of Acts, after Peter and John and James had stirred up the unholy men, beginning at the second chapter of Acts, which great precaution started and went on through the seventh chapter of Acts, where they stoned Stephen, as I indicated to you in the seventh chapter, as Stephen preaches the Pentecost message to them and making mention of the law and the calf that was worshipped on the day many years earlier that I've read you here in the book of Exodus chapter 32 verse 5 through 7. And so we've got the same thing going on today. And what I want to give you here, that they say today is Friday, that means this is the day that they killed the Messiah. Well, is it? Well, if you go to the solar calendar, what day did they kill the Messiah? Well, you say they killed him on the 14th day. And what is your point of reckoning? You say from the vernal equinox. Okay? Then why is it that the 15th is always a new moon on when we know it was when he was being crucified? Because the brightness of the new moon turned dark at the moment of his death on the 14th day. And it should have been a day of light, but it became a day of darkness as he died at 3 o'clock on the 14th day, the day before the 15th, that's mid-month. And then here we got the Catholics saying, oh, he died on the 15th day. He died on the 14th. Well, is that what he died on Friday? Well, see, that's something that the Gregorian Church has added to it and convinced you, as they have developed a seven-day calendar. Matter of fact, if you start out on the solar calendar and the first month, then you get to the second month in Exodus 16, you're out of sync. And that's the errors of the solar calendar. And these errors are easily recognized if you want to get into the scripture. And I have this free booklet on the Sabbath, 72 examples. And then I have this booklet here. It's just a short booklet. You could probably read it in a couple of hours. But it's shot full of information. Matter of fact, there's only about 13 pages to it. But it gives you the scriptures that will show you the very day that he died, the day he arose, and the day that he became the wave sheaf offering. You see, he died on the 14th as a part of a day. Not the full day. He didn't go in there at sundown the day before on the 14th. He was arrested that night on the 14th. He was taken down to Herod's court. And he was beaten and flogged with a cat of nine tails, 39 stripes. They ripped his back open. And then they interrogated him, sent him over to Pilate and sent him back, and they just bounced him around like a rubber ball. This is the Savior of the world. This is the Creator of the very world. He was in the world, according to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with Yahweh. The Word was Yahweh. And the 14th verse that the Word was made flesh, and the 10th verse of 1 John, or 1st chapter of John, says he was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, and he came to his own, and his own received him not. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The very one that hung on the torture stake. And it wasn't a cross, as the Catholic Church has convinced you. You see, the cross is a pagan symbol. He died on a tree. A no rugged tree. They didn't shape it. They didn't make a carpenter's deal out of it. They didn't make a sacred cross. As the sun worshippers say, if you look at the Pope's image of the sacred cross, it is a cross within the globe of the sun. S-U-N, not the S-O-N. And so then, there's all kinds of paganistic applications applied even today as they did back in Exodus chapter 32 verses 5 through 7 when they made the golden calf. Same old spirits doing the same old thing to get you out of synchronization of Yahweh's true lunar Sabbath calendar. That's lunar solar. It has the solar count of the spring equinox. And then you take the first moon after the equinox. Everybody said, well, you start the next day. Well, I say, well, that's 364 days. What are you going to do that other day? Well, they sweep it under the rug. The other day and a quarter. You see, the way Yahweh has given the earth, it's actually out of balance. And as it goes, it's not a complete circle of 360 days. As it once was. But after the flood, the earth bulged because of the tremendous weight of the water, and it bulged out, and it slowed its orbit down to 300, and it added another day and a quarter to get around in its orbit, and so out of 365, it went to 365 and a quarter, and the only way you can appraise that in the solar is 364, and you're short a day and a quarter. Well, let's sweep it down the rug. Well, what does the Gregorian calendar do it? They don't even take it into consideration. The new moon is a mute point. With the solar people, the new moon is a mute point. They don't keep it. They can't keep it under solar and be in sync. So, ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh said to keep the new moon and the Sabbaths. Well, if you go to Ezekiel chapter 46, as I said, in the plan, in the chart, the time chart, it works out perfect. Keep a new moon, work 6 days, and rest on the eighth day. Well, the Bible will support that they rested on the eighth day, not the seventh day. Because it's a point of reckoning. They rested on the seventh day, but it's a point of reckoning where you start your time. Everybody starts the first day of the week. And that's a Gregorian habit. And they've given you a time, as it says in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, they shall think to change times. Well, it also says in the same scriptures there that Satan will set upon the mount of the congregation. Well, if you look at that word congregation and change it back, then it means that I will change times for you to worship me on. instead of worshiping Yahweh's way, which was he died on the 14th day, that is the day before the for the full moon, the night of the full moon, he goes into his Sabbath. He rests the whole day of the full moon. So part of that night of the 14th day, and the beginning that evening, and part of the 15th day, he would have rested one complete cycle, one day and one night. That gets you the 24-hour period of the actual rest day. Well, we know somewhere on the 16th day, which the wave sheaf offering had to be up now, ladies and gentlemen. He had to be up on the wave sheaf offering, and he got up. Sometime during the 16th day, it was early in the morning at the dawn of beginning of the 16th day, the dawn. Now remember, the Sabbath began, it ended, and then the 16th day began that night. And so then, somewhere between that night and early before dawn, he was already up and risen, and the tomb was empty. Well, the Catholics say that he died on Friday and got up on Sunday morning. Well, the Seventh-day Adventists back it up and say, no, he died on Wednesday. See, this is a dispute. And if you are a soldier of the tree, not the cross, if you bear your tree, take up your tree. He didn't say take up your cross. That's a Greek added word that the Catholic Church wanted to put in there so they could give you the oracle of the sun. As they wanted for you to get into sync with the sun worship. And it's very easy to get caught up in the sun worship, and it was also being done, and if you will read in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 8, you will find that they had their backs to Yahweh, and they were worshiping east with their faces to the sun. Well, now I want to ask you on Sunday, Easter Sunday morning, what are they going to do? Well, the churches are going to meet at their cemeteries where the Christian dead lay buried. And then they're going to face the rising of the sun, and they're going to mourn, and they're going to weep and wish for a rapture. And so this is the paganism of the church world when they won't take the truth. Now, notice this in verse 40. Stephen begins to say, this is he, Moses, that was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him upon Mount Sinai, with our fathers who received the lively oracles, or the law, to give unto us, verse 40, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, verse 41. And they made a calf in those days, referring to Pentecost, and offered sacrifice. So if you want to check that out, that is the day of Pentecost. We have this booklet to prove it was on the day of Pentecost. So what they did, they changed the actual day of Pentecost to a pagan way of worship, which the Greek Catholic Church has moved in, changed it to the sun worship, gave us a calendar divisible by a certain standard, and the Jews followed behind it, and they chose Saturn Day or Saturday to worship the Sabbath, and then the Christians took the first day of the week, and now you've got a choice. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you ain't going to get to heaven that easy. You're going to have to search and study and show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and get into the... You might have to fast a little bit. You might have to push your plate back. That would be very appropriate to get rid of a carnal mind. See, most people try to read, and they've never fasted a day in their life. And to draw near to Yahweh, or to get Yahweh to draw near to you, you got to draw near to Him. And the best way for you to get near Him is clean up yourself. Get your inward temple sanctified, where He can come in and fill you with the knowledge of truth rather than the knowledge of tradition and paganism. We are victims of paganism here. And this weekend is no exception, as they themselves will turn to paganism by bringing the Easter bunny baskets. That's a fertility god to worship Ishtar. And they say, oh, we just do this for the children. Well, you teach your children, and they teach their children, and so the paganistic ways of Rome is carried on in your family, and the only way you can get out of that is to come out of her, my people, and the only way you're going to come out of her is to get out of this Christian mentality. No wonder so many people's leaving the church. They hear preachers like Pastor Buddy and others that are going with this sorcery and telling you about the Christmas Mass and December the 25th, which is exactly on the winter solstice. That's the day that the sun is reborn. That's why they placed it that day that Christ was born on December the 25th, close to winter solstice. It's another part of the sun. He wasn't born on December the 25th, ladies and gentlemen. And why is it that our people cannot see this? The fifth planet, named for the Roman idol Jupiter, meaning Zeus the Father. Now, the disciples, one of the Paul and Silas, when they were down there preaching, they called him Jupiter, or Barnabas. They called him Jupiter. And then they called Paul Mercurius, which was the messenger of Jupiter. In other words, it called Paul the preacher of Zeus. That's what that word means. Jupiter means Zeus father. And so the Zeus preachers of the Roman province came out when they did this notable deed here, and they healed the man in Acts 14. Read it for yourself. And then get your Strong's Concordance out and look up the word Jupiter that they put in. They should have put Zeus in there. That's what it means, but they put Jupiter in there so that you would know. And one of the days of the week is named in Jupiter's honor, Zeus. One of the days of the week is named after the honor of the sun. So the planet, one of the days is named after Saturn. Guess which one it is? I just told you, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the pagan weekend, and the Jews and the Christians incorporate this time of the Passover, and they call it Easter, which is a bastard word brought in by the book of Acts, chapter 12, when it was erroneously placed in verse 2 of chapter 12 of the book of Acts, where they call the Passover Easter or Easter, and you'll never hear no Christian call it Passover. Well, I'm keeping Passover. No, they say, I'm going over to Easter services a Sunday. It's always on Sunday. For the Jews, it's always on Saturday. You see, it's like a hand in a glove. The Jews, which are liars and slow bellies, just like the Greeks are, and they worship this god, Jupiter, and they do this because they want to worship the images in heaven, just like they were doing in Mithras. Was the slaying of the bull. That's what the symbol of the golden calf was, which is a symbol of the consolation of Taurus, the bull. And he's up in the heavens in the astronomy. If you look at astrology, you look up there and it's the bull that is being slain. Well, that's a sacrifice. It has a symbol to it, but the pagans have turned the world upside down, and they have turned this worship of Yahweh. In Greece, it was Zeus. In the Latin, it was Demeter. And in Rome, it was Deus. A form of Zeus, also known as Zeus the Father or Jupiter, Venus or Astar, Cupid or Bacchus or Nike. Get you a pair of Nikes and wear them around with you. These are all pagan. Celtic or Celtic, also known as Druid, Wiccan, and all these things are formed from the paganistic ideals of the Church of Rome. Boy, they've given you a bunch of stuff, and the unlearned, they go on, and it's daggone the fish hat. It's got a symbol of the sun. If you look at it, it's open like a fish's mouth, and that's the same symbol that was setting in with the unbelievers when the ark was stolen and taken over to the Philistines over there. They were worshiping, they put it beside their god, their image of the god of Dagon. Now the word of Dagon, it comes from the image of Cyrus, the brightest star in the constellation. And so they were enamored and enthralled by these worship of these plants, and Yahweh gave them up to worship the host of heaven, and we've still got people claiming that they're keeping Sabbath. They don't even know when Sabbath comes. And I've told you and give you the information that he died on the 14th day of the month, not the month of Abib. He didn't die in the first Passover. Now, I've offered you a $5,000 reward to show me where he did. He did die in a Passover, but it wasn't the first one. He died in the second one. So he died actually in the month of May. That's why we keep the second Passover, so we can commemorate and remember on the very month he died in, and we commemorate that by meeting on the 13th, where we wash feet, which is a custom that was handed down before Abraham. It was before the law of Moses, the law of washing feet. You ever want to know what they get that? Everybody thinks that they were eating the Passover meal in John 13. If you read the first verse, it was before the Passover. Yahweh, our Savior, he was eating the last meal that he ever ate in a body before it was killed. It was the last meal he ever had. It was very symbolic, too. And it was a meal of leaven. It wasn't unleavened bread, because the days of unleavened bread don't begin till the first day of the 15th, and that's on the 15th day. Now, right now, tonight, we're on the 15th day of the first Passover. And some people are keeping the Passover. We don't have any problem with you keeping the first Passover. But if you are an advanced student, you know better. You should know better if you do any study. Now, there's people that say, well, we're sticking to the first one. And that's one the Messiah died in. Well, like I say, we've got money offered to you for that. If you want to get on here and debate the subject, and we'll just debate it. I've debated some with some masters of Scripture, some learned scholars. And then when I go over the presentation and prove he was still alive in the first Passover, they say, well, I ain't never read that. It's just because the people that have grouped the Scriptures and classified it and said Jesus eats the Passover in Matthew 26 and chapter 14 of Mark. It says under the heading, he didn't eat the Passover. He ate the preparation meal. Ladies and gentlemen, he was drug away that night. He was arrested after midnight. He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of the beginning of the 13th. That's when they ate their meal. It was 2 days before the Passover, and that night and the next day would have been the Passover. So he ate that meal with his disciples and said, I have desired to eat the Passover meal with you. But he knew he wasn't going to eat it. He knew he was going to be dead. He knew they were going to kill him, and he knew what day is going to be on. That would have been the next day. So he was arrested after midnight of the beginning of the 14th day, after midnight. Remember, it started that evening of the night before the 13th when they got through washing feet. They went out, and Satan went out and went and got the soldiers to come and get him. So they drug him into court. They interrogated him all night long, mocked him. Herod and his soldiers sent him over to Pilate, and Pilate sent him back and said, I can't find anything wrong with him. And so they put a crown on him, like I say, and a robe, a seamless robe, by the way. And the soldiers, even, it was so valuable, they gambled for it. And they pulled it off of him. And people say, well, he had his shorts on, or he had a loincloth on. You can't read that. And everybody that wants to see the enactment of the cross, if you look at the Passion, developed by a Catholic, by the way, to promote Catholicism, really, that's exactly why it was made, and people flocked, Christian, who are not Catholic. See, that's how they manipulate you. Then they give you all these images, and there you've seen the cross, him dragging a big cross, laboring under it, and falling under the weight of the big cross. And, ladies and gentlemen, it was just a tree. It was cut down in the shape of a Y, or a Y. It was just a forked tree, simple. Forked tree. And ladies and gentlemen, you could hang on a tree that wasn't 6 inches in diameter would hold up a 300-pound man. So it didn't have to be a big, laborious tree, but that's the way that they did it. And, anyway, he was beat and bloodied, and everybody thought he was a little skinny, scrawny thing. He was a man. But they had beat him mercifully all night long since he was arrested, and at 9 o'clock they had him in the judgment hall, and at 12 o'clock he went on a torture stake, and he hung there for 3 hours. Three again is symbolic of a sacred number, and he died in the ninth hour. That's another sacred number. They took him down at before the sixth hour. That's before the evening. They got him down. So now you've got the scenario. On the 14th day, he's dying at 3 o'clock. He's taken down before the hour of six of the 14th day. He's put into the tomb before the dawning of the Sabbath, which is the 15th day of the full moon. And he's there all night long. And the next day, he's in his rest. That's the Sabbath day, ladies and gentlemen. And then, early on the 17th day, which is the wave sheaf offering, according to this count of Pentecost. And this is exactly how we develop the count for you and give you an understanding that you may know the truth, and the Bible will expressively say the truth will make you free. Remember, around Pentecost, when Stephen preached this, the same way we preach the feast messages now, and at certain times of the year, maybe referring back to Pentecost in Acts, they could not refer back to Acts so that they could refer back to the first Pentecost when the calf was worshipped and the law was given. Or maybe to be the Pentecost that the prophet Joel was keeping, that Peter referred to in chapter 2. Although Joel didn't use the word Pentecost or feast, he did speak of a meat offering, new wine, wheat, and so on and so forth. And we told you that the new wine and the wheat only comes up in the fourth month harvest. So what you do to get the proper date is you keep the feast of Pentecost in the fourth month. You don't keep it in the third month, or the end of the second month, after counting 50 days of his death. Everybody, that's where they miss it. You go on out into the fourth month harvest, and remember, they thought that the disciples were drunk on new wine. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just like a hand in a glove. It fits. At Pentecost, there's always a major harvest of wheat, and that harvest is the 4 months from time seed is sown to the time of his harvest, according to John chapter 4:35. So then, if you will harmonize with the time that Aaron, the high priest of Yahweh, proclaimed the feast of Yahweh, and that it was in the fourth moon of the 29th day, exactly 50 days after the seventh Sabbath. Oh my, it's amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just marvelous how this all fits together. Now, it's known that this scripture is very determinal to the doctrine of Pentecost being in the third moon. They have to back this up, and they have to muddle the puddle, so to speak, to get you to see what they're doing here. So they keep a false Pentecost just to get you out of the synchronization of the times of the Sabbath. Remember, Yahweh came, and we proved this over and over and over. Let me refresh your memory here. Let's go to John chapter 7, and let me begin in the 22nd verse, and I'm just quoting this out of a memory bank, but you can turn there if you will. Now, we know that the Jews were circumcising on the Sabbath day. And what day are you supposed to circumcise? On the seventh day? Huh? You're supposed to circumcise on the eighth day. Well, the eighth day just happened to be a Sabbath. You say, well, how can that be? We don't have an eighth day. I've had so many people tell me, Pastor Buddy, why do you preach an eighth day calendar? We don't have no eighth day. And I said, well, you ought to have one, because the Bible is full of times where they kept the eighth day, not the seventh day. Now, it's the seventh day if you reckon that the new moon is the first day of count, and you don't do no work day, so it's not a counted day. It was a day that they observed as a new moon, and then they waited for the new moon to change into first crescent light. And when they saw first crescent light, they worked 6 days to keep a Sabbath, which would have been not on the seventh day, because remember, counting the new moon day is one, work 6 days, and then the eighth day, you're going to keep Sabbath. Well, they were keeping a Sabbath when the Messiah was healing on the Sabbath day, and the Jews were circumcising on the Sabbath day, and they condemned the Messiah for healing, and he said, well, you're circumcising. Proving it was on the eighth day, the circumcision Sabbath. Ladies and gentlemen, get your heart circumcised. Open up your mind, study the scriptures. I'm 55 years into the message. And if I haven't learned anything in 55 years, I'm never going to learn. And my life is too short. So I got busy very early in my life. When I was 19 years old, I could put a Bible in my vest pocket and carried it, a New Testament. I didn't know that because we hadn't taught that the Old Testament meant anything. I didn't know that until I was about 40 years old, like Moses. Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian. Well, he went out and spent 40 years on the backside of the desert seeking Yahweh and listening to his word and studying to make himself approved. And when he was 80 years old, he began to lead the children of Israel, and he led them for 40 years. Well, this leading of the times that he led them, which we have read to you here, that it was in the month of Pentecost when he came down with the law. On the very day of Pentecost. Well, isn't that the way that the Shekinah fell on the day of Pentecost? And everybody thought it was 50 days after that he rose up. It wasn't. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do the count, you got 99 days here. If you count seven Sabbaths, that's 49 days. And then you're going to number 50 days, and that's 99 days instead of numbering 50. You see the sequence? It's the way you interpretate the scriptures, and that puts your harvest out at the fourth month. And they said, these men are drunk on new wine. It was the day of Pentecost. There wouldn't have been no new wine in this count right now that they've got going on. There wouldn't have been no new wine. The harvest wouldn't have been in. It don't come in till the summer harvest, the fourth month of John 4:35. Read it right there. You'll see it. The harvest of the fourth month is the summer wheat and the new grapes. And both of those were in, because you have to have the wave sheaf offering. You have to eat of your grain as you sow, according to Yahweh. And that was the stipulation that they had to put the sickle to the corn, which is the wheat. It had to be a wheat sacrifice. It wasn't a barley sacrifice. It was the summer wheat sacrifice that he put the sickle to. And ladies and gentlemen, here we have it. We are now in the process of telling you how. And we've got this little booklet, like I say, I would offer it to you free of charge if you'd like to have it. It's How to Count to Pentecost. It's a wonderful little book. It's chock full of information that you need to enhance your knowledge, because the Bible says in Hosea 4:6, you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and since you reject knowledge. Now, if you don't order the book and I offer it to you free of charge, that's about as cheap as I make. If you'd like to give me a love offering, you can do that. But whether you do or not, don't matter, I'll send it to you. But if you fail to get it and say, and then you get up before Yahweh and say, Lord, Ain't we done many wonderful works in your name? I kept Easter all my life, glory to God. And Lord, I hid them Easter eggs, and just like you told me to, or they told me to at church, and glory to God. You see, ladies and gentlemen, how easy it is to fall under the power and the witchcraft and the persuasion of pagan ways, just like they did in Exodus in chapter 32. Can you see how easy it is? Can you see how it carries over to each generation that learns the ways of the heathen, which the Bible commanded you not to do, and to come out of her, my people, as they were sacrificing to Paul and to Barnabas down in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, when they were there sacrificing to the great god Zeus. Read it in your Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Again, it says that they were sacrificing to Zeus. Now, why would they want to sacrifice to Zeus? Because that was their god. They have been taught and traditioned that Zeus was the principal sky god. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. And if you'll go and look up that word Jupiter, it means just like the Bible says. Zeus, the god Zeus. Well, you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's where actually the name of Jesus came from. And these lying prophets that get on the radio and preach you identity. Oh yeah, they'll give you that message just to suck you in, to get you to stay in the name of Jesus. So they can fleece you. And so that they can live on their big spreads and fly in the air first class and have their big festivals down in some great resort of the pagans. Ladies and gentlemen, all over this earth, beginning tonight or today, which was Good Friday. Good Friday? Yeah, that's Good Friday, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. And Sunday now is Easter, and I'm going to go over there. And I had a sister that told me that she talked to one of her sisters, and they invited her to come over and to eat a ham at their church. Come over and have dinner at their church on Easter Sunday morning. That's this Sunday. And she asked what was on the menu, and she said, "Oh, we're baking hams." H-A-M, not L-A-M-B, but H-A-M. You see, it's all right for you to have a pig roast, but the people cringe when you tell them you're going to kill a lamb. Oh, I went to that sacrificing. Oh, you scared me to death. But they'll slay a pig and put it in the oven. And have you ever read the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah, by the way? Let me tell you something about the 66th chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, by the way, because I've got a lot of things that I love out of it, that I could quote you out of. But for one, if you will go to the 66th chapter of the book of Isaiah, you might learn something about pork or swine. The Bible refers to it as swine. So you might want to read Isaiah 66. Listen, verse 2. For all these things hath mine hand made, and all these things I have said, Yahweh, but to the man will I look, even to him that is poor, and to a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. In other words, you got to tremble at his word, ladies and gentlemen. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. And he that sacrificed a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. Very repulsive, isn't it? He that offers an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. Would you want to do that, ladies and gentlemen, on Easter? Would you want to say, see, somebody somewhere killed that pig, although you went down the store and got it. You didn't see that swine's blood is sacrificed for all the Easter hams that's going to be baked this Sunday. You're going to partake of it. And he that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. There it is. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will also choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none answered. I've called for you to come out of this pagan, Easter, ham, idol, Zeus worship. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes, and chose that which I delighted not. Hear ye the word of Yahweh, you that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, and cast you out for my name's sake. I preach the name of Yahweh, and all you Jesus people get mad at me on Easter, because you want to go down to the church and style and profile and put on your Easter bonnets and get your Easter eggs and your bunny rabbits and take your children down there and learn the ways of the heathen. Ladies and gentlemen, what is it about the gospel? How plain do I have to get it to get you to sit up and take notice and come out of her, my people? That's exactly what Yahweh says. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Oh my! For this I know, that their works and their thoughts, it shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see Yahweh's glory, you come out of this swine-eating Easter, the pagan Sabbaths that they keep. You come out of these false times of the worship of the vernal sun. For I'm going to give you the recipe of the coming kingdom. You want to know what's coming in the kingdom? You want to keep that time?
Say, I'm going to keep solar, Pastor Buddy, when I get over. Glory to God, Shunda. Hallelujah.
Well, I got news for you. It ain't going to be a solar calendar, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry to say, because the Bible tells you exactly what kind of time you're going to keep. It ain't going to be Saturday calendar. It ain't going to be Sunday calendar. It ain't going to be there. The Gregorian's going to be thrown away. It's going to perish with all the users. You know what's going to be? Well, let me read it to you. And I will take them for priests and for Levites. Verse 21 of Isaiah 66. I got to hurry up and close. And for as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make. Now remember, the old earth, all the evil, it's gonna vanish. It's gonna be burned up, Peter said. It's gonna perish. But there's gonna be a new earth and a new heaven. Isaiah 66:22. A new heaven, which I will make, shall remain before me, and a new earth. So shall the seed of those that inherit remain, and your name is going to remain. Remember, you're going to get a new name. It ain't going to be Jesus' name on your forehead. Revelations 22 verse 4 says you're going to have the name of the Father. Revelations 14 and 1 said they had the Father's name in their forehead. What is the Father's name? It ain't Jesus. No, no. Verse 23. And it shall come to... Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I can't make it no plainer than this. And this will end the 3 hours of the Pentecost message. I've got the booklet free of charge if you want it. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon... Oh, the Sasota people don't count the new moon anymore. They give that up and turn to pagan ways of sun worship. Come out of her, my people. That's the command. From one new moon, count... New moon. Work 6 days. Then, what Sabbath day would you keep? You'd keep the 8th day. You see, it's not a 7th day calendar. It's a 30-day calendar, according to Yahweh, and always 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29. No exceptions, ladies and gentlemen. And you get your calendar down, and we've got the lunar calendar if you'd like to have one. We'd like to send you a copy. Free of charge. And... One Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahweh. Now, here's what's going to happen. You say, oh, that's going to happen. Ain't going to happen now. I know what I'm going to keep. I'm going to keep Saturday when I get up there. Glory to God. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Or you're going to say, well, now, boy, I believe Hail Mary. You're going to do 3 Hail Marys. and you're going to cross your heart and hope to die, that you're going to live. Well, I got news for you. You shall go forth after you keep the new moon and the Sabbaths. Well, if you start on a new moon, work 6 days, and you come to the 8th day of the month. If you work 6 days, you come to the 15th day of the month. That's the day that they went into his rest, ladies and gentlemen. If you work 6 more days, you come to the 22nd. And we got plenty of scriptures on the 15th day. The Bible's full of scriptures on the 15th, proving it was a Sabbath. Any man that can prove there's any other Sabbath other than 1, 8, 15, and 22, and 29, we got a $10,000 reward for you. If you can show me out of scripture where they kept any other Sabbath other than 1, 8, 15, 22, or 29, we got 10 grand for you. And they shall go forth and look at on the carcasses. Now, ain't gonna look on live people. These rapture people's wanting to eat their Easter eggs Sunday and eat ham in the kitchen. You ain't gonna eat none when I get through preaching to you. If you do, you're gonna be condemned. And if you do, here's where your carcass is gonna wind up. Listen to me well. Yahweh bless. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have transgressed. Remember, the whole chapter is about transgressing and not keeping his laws. They shall look upon the carcasses of them that transgressed against me, and the worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be abhorrible unto all of the living. Praise Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't make it no plainer than that, and I've got to get out of here as my time is quickly coming on. I'd like to give you my mailing address. It simply is this, is a Pastor Buddy. That's all you got to have. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now it's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My telephone number, I'm live tonight, by the way, praise Yahweh, and bringing it to you in the only way I know how, which is clear and direct. And that is, and I just got a message from my brother up in Michigan that we're coming in loud and clear, praise Yahweh, for the internet. And for shortwave radio. Praise Yahweh for Brother David. He was protected down. I told Dave, I said, I prayed for your radio station. I looked on the news and I seen the weather channel, and it looked like it was coming right across Morrison, Tennessee. And oh, I prayed, because this is the source that provides us a avenue of getting the truth that you're hearing tonight out to you. And we're not laboring in vain. It's going to somewhere. And some heart tonight's being blessed. Praise Yahweh. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, it's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to email me, my email is buddy1@thecenturytale.net. If you'd like to go to our website and browse around, we got a lot of messages up there you can listen to, just like this one. Only some of them's a lot harder. I have to sort of water these down here on the air, you know. But Yahweh bless you for your understanding and for your support. You can go to oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com. Now again, that's oneyahweh.com. And my good brother down in East Tennessee, down below me here, below Knoxville, just sent me an email, and it says that it's coming in great down there, and he's simulcasting it on his radio station. We've been simulcast on many microwave simulcasting stations as we're coming to you loud and clear tonight on WWRB. Praise Yahweh. Thankful for the deliverance of the radio station. No hurt. Dave had to circle around, take alternate routes to get into the radio station just to get there to work tonight. And praise Yahweh for Dave's determination to send out the clear channel. Now, there's other preachers on here that preach a little bit different message. That's fine. Everybody has to pay for their time, and I'm no excuse. I've never been censored or told not to preach. He just said, preach the Bible, and I've endeavored to do that, and I've read it to you right here out of the Word. We've offered you a reward if you want to contend with us. Come, let us reason together. And two can't walk together, and they agree. We agree to walk together as long as we have differences. We can iron them out if we love one another, and that's what it's all about. Yahweh, bless you and keep you. This is time, and I want to get out of here. I love you very much tonight, and I say to you tonight, before I depart, my last words to be to you, I love you very much, and I hope to see you in that new kingdom from one new moon to the next, that we keep Sabbath, and we'll worship and enjoy Yahweh's pleasure. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you Monday night, live on WWRB 3.185, again on the Clear Channel. Yahweh bless you, and we will be 9 o'clock Monday night. It'll be at 10 o'clock on Wednesday night, 9:30 here again on Friday night. Yahweh bless you. I'll see you.